And so this morning, we want to continue to move on with the service. We are going to partake of the Lord's table as the last thing that we do in the service this morning. So we want to give plenty of time for that. So I want to get right to the preaching of God's word. If you would please grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, if you would please. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. We will sing a hymn after a little bit, but right now we'll get to the preaching of God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. These are some verses that you will, I am sure, be very familiar with, and hopefully they're ones that you think of often. There's some great commands in these verses that we'll look at, and they're things that God just really struck me with this last week and a couple of days ago. And I want to share that with you. I had another message planned from the book of Psalms, but this is one that just God really strongly laid on my heart as a need for me. And a lot of times I figure that if there is a need that I have, that's probably an indication that there are others that have the same need because we all are made of the same flesh. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Notice what the Bible says there. It says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those three verses, I believe, go together. Those three things are the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. They are important, and they are commands that are given to you and me. That means it's non-negotiable. That means you and I don't get to argue with God. We're just to say, yes, sir, and obey God's word. And so this morning, quickly, I want to give you a message that I've entitled Continuous Thanksgiving. And what we can see from this scripture is there are three different actions that God commands us to do continuously. Three different actions that we are to do continuously. And I would like, by the end of this message here this morning, for all of us to commit to being continuously thankful. So let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this great privilege to stand behind your pulpit and, Lord, to be able to open up your word and declare to your people what you have said. And Lord, what you are saying to us even today. We know that this book is not just commands that were given long ago, but it is quick and powerful. It's alive and it is applicable to us today. Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, with these three things, to remember these three things. And Lord, that it wouldn't be just that in our minds we give mental assent to the fact that we should be doing these three things continuously, but Lord, that it would be a life-changing decision in our hearts. Lord, that we would repent of the fact that we do not do these things continuously, that we would be convinced that you're right to tell us to do these things, that you are just to command this of us, and that therefore, because you are God and our Savior, we are to obey. Help us, Lord, with that. Help me first, but all of us together. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, three different actions that we're to do continuously. You could write this outline yourself because it's very obvious what those three are. The first one is in verse 16 where it tells us, rejoice evermore. Boy, what a short verse. Just two words, but very powerful words. We are told to rejoice evermore. And I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to rejoice evermore. And the word evermore obviously gives the idea of something that's continual, something that never stops, something that you begin right now and it goes on in perpetuity into the future without ending. We are to do that. And again, remember, this is a command, not a suggestion. So let's think about and remember what it means to rejoice. This last Sunday, we just went through a time where we looked at the book of Philippians and gave an overview of it. And that book has the theme of joy, or we could say rejoicing. And so let's look back and just remember what the Apostle Paul, the same one that God used to write 1 Thessalonians, what he said about rejoicing in that book that has the theme of rejoicing, Philippians. So let's turn over there, turn to chapter number 1. And boy, this is important. I would encourage you to follow along in the scripture, and I would encourage you to even humbly seek God's face about this.
and ask the Lord whether or not you are rejoicing evermore. Philippians chapter number 1, look at verse 12, and let's remind ourselves of some things that Paul was rejoicing about. In verse 12 of Philippians 1, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached." Now notice this phrase. "And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." So Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians 5, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rejoice evermore. He gave us, in God's word, an example of how, in a bad time, he was able to rejoice evermore. This is the example right here. And the example is that while he's in prison, there are others outside of the prison preaching Christ. And I don't know if they were doing it in a mocking way. I don't know how they were preaching Christ. But according to Paul's own words, they were preaching Christ with the wanted outcome that Paul would have affliction added to his bonds. So they were actively preaching Christ to try to make it hard on Paul. Sounds like what some people do on Facebook. My wife and I have been talking about that recently. That they use that as a platform to try to add affliction to other people's bonds. Well, Paul saw that going on. Paul didn't complain about that. Paul didn't get down in the dumps about it. Paul didn't stew about it. Rather, he rejoiced. Why did he rejoice? Because he was able to say, now I'm going to use my words now, he was able to say, God is able to make all things work together for good. Amen. That's Romans 8:28, right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Paul recognized that, hey, God can take this and God can use this. In fact, he is using it, and I'm going to rejoice and I will rejoice in the future. I'm rejoicing now and in the future because of that. It took faith, but he did it. Now, if he can rejoice in that situation, we can rejoice. What are you going through right now that's hard to rejoice about? And can you, by faith, take God at his word and trust that you can rejoice in that? Because somehow, I may not even understand it like Paul understood his situation, but I know by faith that God will use this for his glory and my good, therefore I'm going to rejoice in this situation. That's what Paul did. And again, this is a command, not a suggestion. Not only was he able to rejoice in faith, but he was able to rejoice in verses 17 and 18. Notice of Philippians 1, 17. "But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Notice verse 18 again. "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." let's see here. What he was saying there is he was saying that God was able to influence others through Paul's pain, and so he was going to rejoice in that. And then look with me, if you would, at chapter 3 and verse 3. Notice what he says there. "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Notice he was rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Turn with me over to chapter 4 and verse 4. Notice he says there, rejoice in, what are the next two words? The Lord. Always, and again I say rejoice. Both chapter 3 and verse 3 and chapter 4 and verse 4, those two passages, Paul gives us the way that we can rejoice, and it is in the Lord. You can rejoice because of Jesus. Because he's not dead, he's alive. And I wonder sometimes why we as Christians struggle. And again, I'm pointing fingers at me because I struggle. Why do we struggle when we remember, or if we would remember, that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is in control, that all power really is given unto him in heaven and earth? We would not be down in the dumps. We would rejoice. That means what we're going through right now. Jesus is still alive. and he's still on the throne. Therefore, I can rejoice. We get so worked up and our focus gets put on so many other things when our focus ought to be on the Lord. Now, here's just a little bit of a challenge this morning. It's 10:25 right now, or I'm sorry, 9:25. Ooh, I scared you for a minute there. Pastor, you promised us you'd have us out by 10. 9:25. So some of you have been up for about 28 minutes. Most of you, I'm sure, have been up for hours. How soon after you got up did the name and the person Jesus Christ come across your mind and your heart? Was it right away? Did it happen at all before we got right here to the service? You know, if it didn't happen at all, or if it took a little while, isn't that a shame? That really is a shame. And again, I'm not condemning you. I'm saying we as human beings are so prone to have our mind on things. Politics is a big one. Sports is another one. Something that some people automatically think about and their mind is on this time of year is family. None of those are bad things in and of themselves. But here's what is a shame is that those things come to our mind before the Lord comes to our mind. That shows where our heart really is, right? But we need to rejoice in the Lord. Let's move on, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, because if it is 10:25, then I really have to hurry. Got to go so fast that I rewind time. 1 Thessalonians 5, notice the next verse. This is the second command of an action that's to be done continuously. Not only rejoice evermore, but pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That is something that God is commanding you to do. And it doesn't mean that you pray and never stop your prayer. That's not the idea of pray without ceasing. What it is that every day of your life and in every moment of your life, you ought to be in a state of prayer. That means you need to walk with God. That's basically what that is. You need to walk with Him and talk with Him. Again, when my wife and I are together, I don't know if you figure this out yet or not, but my wife is not a big talker. And she comes from a family of not big talkers. That's one of the reasons I married her, because I'm the talker. But when we're together, when we go out on a date, or maybe we just get some time away and we're driving together, that's something we enjoy doing, is just taking a drive, we actually don't talk that much. But yet we are together. We're very conscious of the other person's presence. In fact, we enjoy that. We hold hands, things like that, as we drive along, but we're not talking that much. I imagine many of you couples are just like us in that way. And you don't have to talk, but even while you're not talking, you're not ignoring the other person's presence. You're very cognizant of the fact that I'm with you right now on purpose. This is a date. We're having a good time together, even though we're not chatting it up. That's the idea of pray without ceasing. It's not that you have to continuously chat to God and have words to say, but you ought to be in a continuous state where you recognize His presence, that you are consciously spending time with Him, that as you go throughout the day, you are with Him. Pray without ceasing. Now, that's part of it. The other part of it is what Luke 18 teaches us. We won't turn there for time's sake. But you remember, we just went through Luke 18, the first several verses, where Jesus gave a parable with a purpose, which was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the idea of it was, if an unjust judge who doesn't fear God, doesn't regard man, if he will give the widow what she wants because she continuously pesters him, then shouldn't we pester God? Because He's much more inclined than an unjust judge to give us what we need. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? We ought to pray without ceasing. And I want to encourage you this morning, challenge you, that the command of God is in everything to give thanks and that we are to pray continuously. The things that come into your life, the things that bother you, do you talk to other people about them first or do you go to God with them? You ought to go to God. What are the issues that you face? Bring them before the Lord. Talk to God about it. Ask Him for help. I promise you, if you have something that irritates you, something that's a problem, if you'll take it before the Lord, you'll have peace. I've experienced that time and time again. And more than my experience, the Word of God tells us in Philippians 4 that if we'll go to the Lord with everything, not worry about things, but hand them over to him with thanksgiving, that we'll have the peace of God. God will help you with that if you'll do that. Take it to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Brother Pritchett and I talk about this all the time. We try every day to begin our day with prayer. We come here in the auditorium. He'll usually pray in that front set of chairs there. I'll pray here. And we talk about the day a little bit, and then we bring our burdens before the Lord. We pray as we begin our day. And without fail, I can be coming in having a rough day, worried about things, concerned about this thing, irritated about that thing. And as we pray, he and I get up from our knees, and just about every day, one of us will say, I feel so much better. Just giving it to God. Friends, if you'll do the same, God will give you peace. Pray without ceasing. Let's look at the third action that we are commanded to give, and that's in verse 18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we are to give thanks in everything. We are at the day of thanksgiving. Aren't you glad that we live in a nation that long ago decided that a national holiday should be a day of thanksgiving? Isn't that an amazing thing? National holidays where we remember our soldiers, I like those national holidays too. National holidays where we remember the Declaration of Independence and the fact that our country declared itself free from tyrannical rule. What a blessing those days are. But I think one of, if not the greatest, of our national holidays is the day that we set aside to give God thanks. And I want you to understand, that's what Thanksgiving is about. That's why our country had this as a national holiday. That's why the banks are closed today. That's why federal offices are closed today. Not because it's Turkey Day, not because, you know, the Bears are going to lose to the Lions. Not because of that, all right? Here's why they're taking the time to have a day off. They're taking the time to have a day off today, long ago, because our leaders recognize, as a nation, we ought to be grateful to our Heavenly Father for what he's done for us. What we have is because God's been good. Not because George Washington was a great general, but because God has been good. Not because our leaders are smarter than other leaders. We know that's not true. It's because God has been good. So we ought to give him thanks. And friends, you ought to give thanks in everything. Now, again, I don't have time to look back at Philippians 1, but that's on my mind because we went through it on Sunday. Do you remember that Paul was able to give thanks even in the middle of his hard time, even when people are outside of the prison preaching, trying to make it rough on Paul, and yet he gave thanks, he rejoiced, in spite of that. You and I can do that same thing. Now, let me give you just a little bit of a personal testimony on this. And I try not to give too many personal testimonies, although I do much more than I think I probably should. But this message came to my heart recently because on a certain night this last week with just something that went on politically in our area here recently, my heart was just full of just irritation, strife. And I did what, you know, we're supposed to do, called and talked to people that have some control over some of those things. And I just laid there at night and just my mind raced about just all the things that go on, the injustice of it all and all of those different things. And I honestly struggled to get to sleep. And the Lord brought this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to my mind. In everything, give thanks. And I was convicted because the truth of the matter is I wasn't giving thanks. I was irritated. I was upset. I was upset with the politics of it all and all the rest, but I wasn't giving thanks. And so there, as I laid my head on my pillow, I obeyed the Lord by faith, without feeling it, just in obedience. And I began to give God thanks, and peace immediately came to my heart, immediately. Didn't take long, and I was reminded what the Word of God says. Again, not a suggestion, a command to give thanks. Let me ask you this question. Are you obeying that command? If not, friends, I'm going to treat you like my kids here for a minute, and forgive me for that, all right? But what I ask my kids when I tell them to wash the dishes or whatever, and they don't do it, they'll say, I forgot. And I say, what is that called? And they know the answer, disobedience. Because to forget is not an excuse, it's disobedience. Well, it goes back to us as adults too, doesn't it? When we don't obey God's word, we can have all the excuses in the world, but what is it? It's disobedience. And friends, it's wrong for us to disobey when God has in his word a command for us. And on this day of Thanksgiving, let me encourage you, be obedient. Give God thanks in everything. Obey these three commands. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that, Lord, as we obey your word, you do give us peace. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I don't know how many times in my life I've been disobedient in this area, but I would imagine, Lord, that if I were honest with you, the times I obey you are much fewer than the times that I disobey you. Lord, I'm consistently not walking in the truth of this scripture that we just went over here. And Lord, I would imagine that the people that you've given me to pastor probably battle just like I do. And so, Lord, I ask that you'd help all of us to obey you, to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in everything. Would you let today, this Thanksgiving in 2021, be a day in which we make a determination with the help of your Holy Spirit to obey you from this day going forward? I pray that you'd help me with that. I commit myself to that even this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would help your people to commit to the same thing in Jesus' name. Amen.